Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and I am very excited to be bringing you this podcast this particular week during Brain Awareness Week 2012. And hopefully you have been following me on Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook with resources and tips for boosting your brain power, especially during the 1 week a year we set aside to celebrate brain awareness, because after all, your brain is involved in every single thing you do in your life. And when things happen to your brain, it can change how you think, how you feel, how you process, how you relate to people, and how your body functions physically as well. So tonight, I'm excited to spend this hour with my guest, life strategist and health coach, Lynette Patterson, who has just recently become a best-selling author on Amazon. She has, I believe, four books.
Yes.
Is it four?
There's four books, yes. Correct.
Four books that you can get on Kindle. So after the show, if you want to hop out there and learn some more from Lynette, an interview she's done and her Healing with Experts. She's the host of Healing with Experts. And I've been excited to be a guest with her Healing with Experts show, talking about getting the best from your brain. She is also certified in NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. She is a certified coach and has a passion to help people have their best bodies and their best health to live their best life. And she is always learning and always sharing what it is that she's learning, tweaking it. She is a systems freak, as she proclaims herself, and we'll talk about some systems, how to put some systems in place to really boost your brain power rather than bust your brain, and that's going to be our focus tonight. I'm excited to welcome Lynette. Also, she is my Saving Superwoman colleague, half of our dynamic duo with our Saving Superwoman project. We have a passion to support women who are doing it all, and we want them to also be able to enjoy life in the process. So we share what we learn as we go. So thank you so much, Lynette, for investing time for my listeners here on Spark to share those sparks around making brain-boosting choices in life rather than brain-busting choices. Thanks for being here.
I am so excited to be here with you because, you know, it's kind of funny that we spend 1 week of the year talking about the brain, because the brain is so incredibly important to everything that we do, to our relationships, to our businesses, to our health, and yet there's 1 week that we're focusing on it. But I guess 1 week is better than none, and then we can take all the things that we learn right now and applying them to our life the rest of the time, which is really the point.
There we go. And like anything, you know, there are some things that we're going to talk about that are simple changes that you can make. May not be easy, because if you've developed some habits over, you know, 14, if you're 14 years old or 64, things that you've done out of habit, you can change. As we discover, I just learned today, there are two dyes that the FDA has realized are connected in some children to ADHD. However, they're not pulling the dyes from the food. They're just saying being an informed consumer and read. It's a red and yellow, but I don't remember the numbers, unfortunately. So there are a lot of chemicals in our food. So let's start with nutrition in the brain. Things we can do around what we put in our mouth that impacts the performance of our brain.
Oh, my goodness. If we think about our nutrition and the choices that we make around nutrition as the key ingredient to how well we think, how well we remember, how well we process, how well we sleep, how tolerant we are of others, how patient we are, how we string our words together in a sentence. If we start really looking at the importance of the food that we put in our mouth to all of those things and many, many more, then that might be the first step to realizing the huge, completely, absolutely, phenomenally huge connection the foods that we put inside of us are to how our brain works. And it's really interesting that you mentioned the yellow and the red dye, because there's a kid on my oldest son's baseball team, and we had a banquet the other night where there was barbecue with some red sauce on it, and he had to go track down whether that had red dye in it or not so that he would know whether he could eat it, because it created such, not only just an allergic reaction where he broke out and had a physical reaction, but it caused a mental reaction, an emotional reaction with him as well. You know, the jumping off the wall, the thinking crazy, the fogginess, all of those happen to the 17-year-old as well. And it's happening with our kids, it's happening with adults, it's happening with our teenagers. So looking at all these unnecessary chemicals, which, by the way, red food dye comes from bugs. They crunch up bugs and make dye out of them, which is why so many people are allergic, because they're bugs that they are crunching up and putting in your food that you're eating. Yes, thank you very much. So another reason to look out is if you don't want to eat bugs, watch out for red dye.
Watch out for red dye. And this last probably 7 to 9 days, public television has been running their festival, spring festival, for fundraising. And I have, I'll have to go back and look at some of the recordings that I did, because I didn't have time at the time. But Dr. Daniel Amen has a new piece about use your brain to change your age. Then Dr. Mark Hyman has the blood sugar solution.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how, about diabetes, the link between diabetes and obesity, and food is really medicine to our bodies. And
more
that we talked about that food being medicine, and Dr. Amen talks about the importance of nutrition as well. But if we think about food as being natural medicine that is actually supporting our bodies to turn on certain genes and to turn off other genes, that really, if we think about food in terms of whole food, in terms of what nature grows versus what we've produced in chemical plants over the years, it's a huge difference to our body and to our brain.
Yes, you know, the food industry has done a brilliant job of brainwashing us into believing that the food that they're producing is food. They've done a brilliant job of us driving up to a drive-thru window, sticking our hand out, and us believing that what we take into our car and then eat and feed our children is food. And for the most part, it is not. It's a mixture of chemicals with a little bit of food that no longer has any nutritional properties because it's been so processed, yet we believe that we're doing okay. And really, we have fallen victim to a really clever manipulation from the food industry and the marketing executives that have, you know, that are looking to make a profit. So going back to those whole foods, and I love that you bring in Dr. Amen and
Dr. Hyman.
And Dr. Hyman, yes, thank you. Because here's the really cool thing. The thing that's going to help you look young on the outside, it's going to help your brain, it's going to help you with obesity, so it's going to help you with your figure, it's going to help you with Alzheimer's. Right now, they're calling type 3 diabetes. You know, we know we have the type 1 diabetes, which is the juvenile. The type 2 is adult onset, which children are getting younger and younger now. But they're now having a type 3 diabetes, which is also called Alzheimer's disease, because it's so sugar and starch related. The more sugars and the more starches and the more foods that you eat that affect your blood sugar, it really creates lesions in your brain, which then move on to become Alzheimer's. So type 3 diabetes is the same thing as Alzheimer's. So to treat, and I'm saying treat because if we want to look at food as being our medicine, then the treatment plan is to eat the lean proteins, the fruits and vegetables, the pure water that's been provided to us, the whole grains, the sprouted grains, if you have any any intolerance to gluten, you can go with the sprouted grains, and that won't affect your intolerances. But eating those foods, the eggs, the Greek yogurt, you're seeing more and more of the commercials around the Greek yogurt, the tempeh, the cottage cheese, those things are going to help your brain. They're going to help your wrinkles. They're going to, I've even been reading about people who are getting the color to come back into their hair. People who've been gray, they're now getting their color back because they're eating these whole healthy foods. You know, it's really
awesome.
Quite the miracle. Yeah.
Lynette, what is the difference? Real quick, that's probably a side note related to boosting your brain, but yogurt is a good source of protein. What's the difference? What makes Greek yogurt better?
It's the way it's processed, fermented versus unfermented. When you eat the fermented foods, you know, the sauerkrauts, the tempeh, the Greek yogurts, then it works differently inside of your body. The yogurts that you buy in a store, generally, they've been so processed that all of the good probiotics that were in there that started out are no longer good for you. But the way they process the other types, the Greek yogurts, those things don't get broken down as quickly because of the way they actually work it through the process. So it ends up being much, much better for you. It keeps your body in a different state of alkalinity.
Ah, there we go. That's another topic also. Let's go back to some other things that are related to the nutrition part of the brain, especially with the fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages of eating the rainbow, which is a phrase that I often use with clients?
Well, in addition to eating the rainbow, you know, whatever your religious belief is, and I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this, you know, but God is a really smart dude. He created on the earth all the things that we need to thrive and survive. So we have the foods that are grown on the earth, which are our broccolis, our red cabbages. You know, a lot of people forget about red cabbage, but the red cabbage has an antioxidant in it called polyphenol, which reduces cell damage. So whether that cell damage is in your body or if it's in your brain, it helps reduce that, and it's very helpful in preventing Alzheimer's disease. But you have your spinach, so you have your greens, you have your reds, your berries. Oh my gosh, berries are amazingly good for you. Your tomatoes, your avocados, which also, in addition to having the really good nutrients in it, they have the good healthy sources of fats as well. So being able to get, you know, 6 to 8 servings of those variety of colors on your plate and into your stomach every day makes a huge difference in how well your body cell walls work. So if you can keep those nutrients going in and out of your cell walls, if you can keep yourself hydrated by eating these types of rainbow foods, they also have a very high water content in them, so it keeps you more hydrated. So it keeps your cell walls more flexible. So the nutrients that you're eating can actually penetrate the cell walls. When you're dehydrated or you're eating a lot of trans fats, your cell walls become either sticky or stiff, and it makes it difficult for the fluid that you bring in or any of the vitamins that you take or any of the foods that you're eating with vitamins in it to even cross the cell membrane barrier. And so it doesn't get to the part of your body that really needs it, which is inside that cell membrane. So by eating those things, it changes the way your cell membranes work, and it just helps you process everything better. Plus, those foods have fiber, which help with your digestion. And the better your digestion can work, because it has its own nervous system, the better the nervous system inside of your brain is going to work as well, because they communicate with each other. That was a really long answer. Does that make sense? Do I need to clarify anything?
No, I think that's great. And I think, you know, as, like you said, if we can create a way for people to remember what's good for your brain. And so if you may be on a special diet for your heart, guess what? That's also good for your brain. And so thinking about whole foods, you know, how many ingredients are on the labels of the foods you eat? You know, if you can't pronounce it, probably shouldn't eat it. Probably not the healthiest thing for you to put in your body. And so someone also had said today in a presentation about, for her, she looks for 6 ingredients or less on a label if she's buying something that's processed. Otherwise, she prefers to use whole food with her family. And so thinking about, okay, then I'm thinking about eating the rainbow, and I'm looking for different colors. The deeper the colors, the more nutrients are there. And if we want to really retain the nutrition, and as a health coach, I'm guessing you talk about this with some of your clients, so we're going to eat the rainbow, we got that, but how in the world do I cook this stuff? And where do I go to figure it out? We just added seeds and quinoa, which for those people, when I first heard it, I didn't spell it right. It's Q-U-I-N-O-A. So it looks like quinoa, but it's pronounced quinoa. And, you know, it's like, okay, so now what do I do with this stuff? So, you know, where can we go to find tips and tricks for how do we add this stuff to our diet and for it tastes good and then we're cooking it, preparing it correctly?
Oh, my gosh. You know, learning how to cook and learning all of the different recipes are literally at your fingertips. You can put in the word quinoa, and you can even misspell it. I have learned that you can spell it phonetically, K-I-N-A-W, and it will come up as the correct spelling. So someone figured out that no one could spell the word, and it will still come up. So, you know, just do your best guess at spelling the word, and you will get thousands of recipes in which to try. And I really urge you to think outside of what breakfast needs to look like. You know, we think, and again, we've been trained that breakfast looks like pancakes, that it looks like cereal or Pop-Tart, but it can be dinner from last night. It can be that quinoa with fruit. You can add an avocado on there. You can add it as the bed to your omelet. So that's a really good strategy, and a system is to make enough dinner to have it for breakfast the next day. It's super easy. You warm it up, and it's right there at your fingertips. Another system for getting all of those fruits and vegetables in the day is to think about the base protein that you're eating, whether it is a nut butter, and I love that people are going to be looking at less than 6 ingredients with peanut butter or any of the nut butters. Actually, peanut butter is the least healthy of all of the nut butters for you. So any of the nut butters, you can add a fruit to any of the nut butters, and that's one of those really good, yummy fruits or vegetables that you can add. Bananas are great with nut butters. Apples. I've tried mangoes, and it doesn't sound good, but it is really, really good. But you add those together. Your eggs. Eggs make a beautiful accompaniment to vegetables. So you throw them in together as a frittata. If you don't have time to make an omelet, you just make a scramble. You scramble your eggs, you throw your vegetables in there, maybe some lean sources of protein if the egg is not quite enough for you. You scramble it all together, throw in a little bit of cheese. Oh, yummy. My kids love it. This is 8-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-year-old, and mommy-approved foods that I'm talking about here.
Well, and I think that's important. It can be faster than we think. Mm-hmm. It can be healthier than we think. And, as Dr. Heyman says, eating well can taste good. Oh, it's not going to taste like it. You know what? We learn different seasonings. We develop different tastes, things that we haven't eaten because we eat so much sugar and salt that for a lot of us, if it's not sweet enough or salty enough, we don't think there's a lot of flavor.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I know a lot of people snarl their nose up when I talk about turkey bacon or turkey sausage. You know, one of the systems that I have in place for my life is I make most of my breakfast on Sunday. And whether it is the frittatas, the breakfast bakes, or simply, you know, cooking the turkey sausage or the turkey bacon and keeping them in the refrigerator. And the boys will come in, and whether it's breakfast or not, and snack on those things, which makes me my heart very, very happy that they are snacking on proteins versus, you know, anything else that they might try to snack on. You know, they choose those foods, but it's because I have them available. You know, if it's a raw sausage patty that's sitting in your refrigerator, you're not going to oftentimes, when you're snacky, take the time to go and cook that. So having those things available on Sunday for the entire week, and then when I'm ready to make those breakfast scrambles, and I can break up the turkey sausage and throw that in with the scramble, it's all right there. And it doesn't, and it helps me as a mom on those busy days not say, kids, we don't have time, just go grab that bowl of cereal, because it doesn't take much time at all.
There we go. And there are also substitutions that you can make in recipes that are healthier, to put honey in instead of corn syrup into recipes. And sometimes, you know, to tweak ingredients. We've forgotten how to cook, as well as we often don't eat together. And it's an advantage for the brain to have that social time, as well as helping our digestive system, where we slow down and we're not inhaling the food as we're racing for the next thing. So giving our brain that good nutrition, I want to talk a little bit about protein, particularly for the brain and at breakfast, because, you know, when you've been fasting over the night, breakfast is supposed to break that fast. And before you head to school or to work or just to start your day, when you're having to make new connections in your brain or access memories, particularly the new connections, you need the right chemistry in your brain. You need the right chemicals in order to have those. We need to give our body some ingredients that are not naturally found in our body. We only get them when we eat them. And so when we eat protein, it's broken down into the amino acids, the component building blocks, and during digestion, then the blood can get them to the brain. The brain can then get them into the form of those chemicals like serotonin and dopamine, those chemicals that we've heard on commercials now, because it's almost like we go to pharmacy school and we watch commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we know that you need the right chemistry in order to make new brain growth happen, new cell growth in the brain. So protein is critical. And one of the purest forms of protein is an egg. And an egg a day does not raise your cholesterol. And so there are people who shy away from eggs. Well, I got to watch my cholesterol. And I know this is one that you're passionate about, Lynette. Do you want to talk a little bit about that fallacy around cholesterol and eggs?
Yes, I do. I very much want to talk about that, because this is another thing that's been ingrained, isn't it? Is that there was a belief at one time. It was actually an assumption that was made by the researchers, by physicians, by the scientists. They assumed that if you ate foods that had cholesterol in them, that would raise your cholesterol. You know, and if you think about it, that does make sense. You know, you eat cholesterol, it will raise your cholesterol. So there was this huge assumption that this was what's going to happen. And so they, you know, started telling people to not eat eggs, you know, eggs are bad for you, don't eat red meats are bad for you, don't eat all these different foods because they're bad for you, bad for your cholesterol. But it turns out that cholesterol in foods does not affect your cholesterol. What does affect your cholesterol are the sugars and the starches. Because those things go into your body, they create this crazy chemical reaction, they create this crazy thing with your blood sugar, and it actually makes your blood a little bit thicker, it makes it a little bit stickier, in addition to all the other, you know, crazy things that happens inside of your body when you eat those things. And so it's the sugars and the starches, which we as a society eat way too much of, that affect your cholesterol. So if you want to lower your cholesterol, you need to reduce the sugars and the starches that you eat.
And the cholesterol, we need some cholesterol in our system because we need choline. Choline is a cholesterol, and choline is necessary. It's a building block for acetylcholine, which is necessary in the memory building process in the brain. And there are a lot of foods, not just eggs, where you need choline. Wheat germ has choline. If you don't have a gluten sensitivity, Canadian bacon, there's some fat issues with that. That's got choline. And so if you Google choline, you can find good sources of choline, which you need for your brain. There are also other things that you need for your brain. You need magnesium, which we don't produce in our body. We have to eat it. And so finding those vegetables that are good sources of magnesium or pure supplements. So much better, again, if you can eat the food, your body knows how to digest that food. It's been doing it for a long time. and that, by that I mean centuries, the human body's been digesting food. When we start messing around with it and putting chemicals with it, the body, it doesn't know what to do with it. And so you have all sorts of different reactions, and is this really food, or is this, you know, something that needs to make us sick? And for some people, literally does make them sick from the chemicals that they eat. So knowing that we need then not only the vitamins, then the antioxidants. And by the way, people you probably have heard the term antioxidants. And it's like, what in the world are antioxidants? Well, antioxidants, if you think about what happens to an apple when you cut it open and leave it sit on a counter, it oxidizes, it turns brown. Well, some of the same kind of stuff happens to your brain cells. There are what are called free radicals that are produced in the chemical reactions of our body, and they love fat. And your brain is the fattiest organ in your body. That omega-3 fat that coats your nerves, that allows them to function at their fastest, well, that's where those free radicals go, and they can actually damage those nerve cells. Well, what antioxidants do, they prevent that oxidation process and can actually reverse some of the damage. Where do you get those? Those are your, and I always forget them when I start listing them, it's your vitamin A, your vitamin C, help me, Lynette.
Oh, gosh. Well, all of those, but basically if you go back to that rainbow of food,
there we go. They're in there.
Yeah, you don't need to remember any of your... if you think about it, okay, one of the easy, my memory just supported me really quickly. If you think about a cake, so vitamins C, A, K, and E are your best sources of the antioxidants, and it's what the skin specialists use for wrinkles. So that may help you in the future as well. So you have your cake and have the vitamins C, A, K, and E. And those are some of the primary ones that you'll want to make sure that you're getting plenty of
for the anti-aging process of it.
I love those mnemonics, those memory tricks that we use. That's another way you can boost your brain power.
Yes.
And there are past segments of Spark if you're interested to look at memory and some strategies around that. So we've talked some about feeding our brain what it needs in order for it to carry out the chemical processes around learning, problem-solving, remembering, and you can find antioxidants in green teas are a good source of good chemicals in terms of vitamins and minerals for your brain. And then if we need to talk about water, because the majority of people, unless they make a conscious effort, walk around with dehydrated brains. So let's spend a little bit of time talking about the choices about what we drink as well. And how that can bust our brain.
Yes, yes. You know, my early days as a health coach, I got suckered into this quite often with people who were trying to fool themselves and fool me as well. I would ask them, you know, what are you drinking? I'm drinking lots of water. Oh, that's awesome. You know, how many Cokes are you drinking? Just one. And, you know, how much coffee? Just one cup. Well, it turns out they were drinking a 32-ounce cup of coffee. You know, they were having the 64-ounce Coke, and they were having, you know, 3 shot glasses worth of water. And that was their daily intake. So I learned really, really quickly that it's very easy for us to fool ourselves into believing that we're staying hydrated, because we don't have these big, huge warning signals that, you know, like our forehead doesn't start flashing, you know, dehydrated. We don't get these big warning signs like we would with our blood sugar, or sometimes we do have dehydration signs, but we think it's our blood sugar, so we go eat something versus drink something, but we're dehydrated most of the time. And a lot of times it's because we're drinking so much caffeine as a society, which is a diuretic, and it pulls even more fluid from us. So first, the very, very first thing I can say is to get really real and honest with yourself as to how much fluid you're taking in every single day and what types of fluid you're taking in. You know, if you're drinking one 32-ounce Coke, that's basically 4 servings of Coke, and that is way too much in a day. So that's kind of what not to do. What you do want to do is you want to look at pure water. You know, for those that just snarled, you know, and said, oh, I can't drink pure water, then until you get the taste back for pure water. You can always add fruits, lemons. You can do a splash of juice in it if you want to, just to give it a little bit of that flavor so that you will actually drink it. You know, it's okay to fool yourself until you become more comfortable with it, with those type things. I love Sonic. You know, it's a fast food restaurant, but I love it because they have those Route 44 drinks, which is a 44-ounce drink, but they will give you, for free most of the time, 44 ounces of water, and they'll put all their fruits in there for you. And so you have this great big huge water, and it only takes two of those for most people to get all of your intake for the day. So you can, you know, drink one in the morning, one in the afternoon. You're done. It's amazing. It's fabulous. Go get one right now. Drink it.
Yeah, and if, you know, those times during the day when you reach for the cup of coffee, what if you had a water bottle instead? And you just, instead of thinking, oh, I've got to go drink 18 ounces or 16 ounces or 64 ounces of water, mm-hmm. if you schedule it, here's your system. You know, every hour and every mm-hmm. half hour, I'm going to drink water. So it may be mm-hmm. what, a couple swallows to start with. And, mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about drinking 100 ounces a day or twice your body, or not twice, take half. Your body weight and divide it in half or by three and get a range of ounces, depending on which researchers you're reading, for how much water you need. And then, you know, make that adjustment and then just realize a couple things, like you just said. For every ounce of caffeine or alcohol that you take in, the diuretics that pull water out of your system, you need to take in the same amount of fluid water above what you normally would drink. So, you know, for let's say it's 100 ounces a day that you want to have of water, and then you drink that 32-ounce Coke. Well, that's 32 more ounces of water mm-hmm. that you need to take in on top of your 100 to balance mm-hmm. that out. And if you're stressed, if you're under high stress, double your water intake, because the stress mm-hmm. is causing your system to operate in overdrive. It's operating at a higher, your respiration's higher, digestive system's running. So you're really, it's like having the accelerator down on your car. Well, what happens? It sucks the gas. Well, when you're stressed, it sucks the water. All of your systems are trying to pull from a limited pool of water. And guess what? Your brain, because it's in charge of your survival, will get water first. So you won't have it for your muscle system. You won't have it in your circulatory system. You won't have it in your digestive system. Mm-hmm. Then what? Then there are even more problems. So you know what? Give your brain a break. Give your body a break. And give yourself some water.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really easy to do. It feels intimidating at first. So if you weigh, let's look at the math. If you weigh 200 pounds, let's say really easy math. Okay, let's say you weigh 200 pounds. Half your body weight in ounces is 100 ounces. And so you think about that and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how in the world am I ever going to drink 100 ounces of water? Well, one of the things that I do for my own life is I do not allow myself to drink my morning coffee until I've had a glass of water. And so sometimes I'm drinking the water as fast as you can ever believe anyone's ever drank a glass of water, because I really love my coffee. I love the taste and the flavor, and I put my protein shake in it, so I have this yummy protein latte going on, but I don't allow myself to drink it unless I'm drinking that water first. So that's one glass of water. Mid-morning, when you're having your mid-morning snack, you have a glass of water with that. You have a big glass of water or two glasses of water with your lunch. You have a glass in the afternoon. You have two glasses of water at dinner. And you know what? You're there. You're there with your water intake. Again, if you don't like drinking pure water, one of my tricks as well is I like to put one of my green tea bags. I'll have this huge glass of water, and I'll throw a green tea bag in there. So I'm getting the benefits of having the green tea, but it just gives enough of the flavor of the water to where I feel like I'm having something more than water. And so it's just a double benefit. So start looking at those positive constraints that you're putting in your life. Like, I can't have my coffee until I've had my water. Or if I'm going to play on the internet, I can't play on the internet unless I'm drinking water. So you create these positive constraints, these rules that help create the systems that gets the water inside of you.
Absolutely. And to realize, you know, if if you are a brain enthusiast, is a nice way to say brain junkie. I'm a brain junkie. I have, so as long as I can remember, been curious about wanting to learn about how the brain works, how it learns, how I can help it learn more effectively as a certified brain-based trainer, coach. And so I love looking at brain scans, looking at different kinds of brain scans. And as Dr. Amen said, you can develop brain envy. Do you want your brain to look full of holes, is what it kind of looks like, where you've got parts that aren't functioning anymore, parts that are damaged? Or do you want to have a young-looking brain, which then also gives you young-looking skin, as you said, and it gives you healthier body as well. And so you can develop brain envy and to teach our kids to make brain-healthy choices from the time they're young. And while we've still got some work to do around food in my family, I'm very excited to say that whenever we leave our house, everybody has a bottle of water, and we filter our water at home and we refill bottles. So that's our environmental responsibility part for us. But my son, who's 10, his favorite drink is water. And so it's really exciting because, you know what, you have one grandmother who drinks water, one that has some challenges around water and trying to figure out how to get water, more water into her diet. Well, because she didn't drink a lot of water growing up, and so she's in her 70s now and working to change that. So, you know, what are you teaching your kids by not what you say? When you say eat breakfast and you don't, when you say drink water and you don't, they learn by watching what you do. And to decide as a family unit or get an accountability partner around, hey, let's decide we are going to make brain-boosting lifestyle choices because we want to have a healthy brain all of our lives. And there's, so we can make some choices around food, the food that we eat, around the water that we drink. Let's next go to exercise, because in Brain Rules, Dr. John Medina's book, he talks about 12 rules to survive and thrive at work, school, and home, and it's about the brain. What are we feeding it well is one. He also talks about the importance of exercise and how even 30 minutes, I think he's 30 minutes three times a week, reduces your risk of Alzheimer's by 50% just by exercise. And I, here's my caveat to my listeners. Make sure you consult a doctor before you work on adding an exercise program or make major changes in the diet, especially if you're on medication, so that you can work with your doctor. But if you are diabetic and or working with obesity, the way that you eat food and use that nutrition can actually reverse and restore health. So that's exciting. Let's talk about exercise and how in the world can I fit exercise in my day because I'm so darn busy, Lynette. Where am I going to put it? You've heard me say this when we first started our relationship, and you were my coach. I was like, I've got this two-hour commute and da-da-da-da, and I don't know where to put it. So where do I put it?
Oh, here I am. I had a...
Okay.
Something weird happened with my phone. Sorry.
Oh,
can you tell
me
what the question was again?
Oh, the question was when we started working together, and I have a two-hour commute plus a business and a full-time job and a family, and where in the world am I going to fit? Because sleep's important for the brain, too, so we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But how do I fit exercise into my life?
Oh, my gosh. You know, if you start looking at it versus... You know, gosh, we do look at exercise as this extra thing to do versus just part of our life. And, you know, with you, it was like, okay, you've got 2 hours in the car. Great. What can you do in the car that's going to make a huge difference in your life? And so you started actually doing the great kinesthetic exercises while you were driving. And you started working on your muscle tone. And the more you work on your muscle tone, the better your muscles are going to be able to process, and the less fat that you have, and the way your estrogen and your progesterone and your testosterone balances out, and you just start feeling better just because you're pressing on the steering wheel, for heaven's sake, or you're squeezing your butt cheeks while you're driving. You know, it's those little things like that. You know, when you come home and you've got the kids and you're getting ready to do dinner, you know, why not put on some music? And while you're in the kitchen cooking, you're dancing, you're doing pliés, you're doing leg lifts, you're, you know, while something's cooking and you've got 3 minutes while the timer's going down, you turn the music way up and you dance like crazy really, really hard with the kids. So, you know, dancing is a beautiful way. And you can sprinkle, you know, when you're dancing, you can dance down the hallway. You can dance while you're brushing your teeth. You know, there's so many places that you can dance. Or just do the squat or you know, any of those deep knee bend type things that work on your lower body. It's just a really, really fun way to do it if you find that 30 minutes as a chunk won't work for you. But again, it's also about looking at your schedule and getting real with yourself. We have 30 minutes in our day. If we choose and make it important enough that we can fit this in, if someone were to offer you three massages, three 30-minute massages every single week, you would find a way to get those three 30-minute massages. We just choose not to find the space for it. On the days when we truly, truly can't, dancing down the hallway, dancing while you're brushing your teeth, crunching your butt when you're driving and you're sitting at the traffic light, squeezing those butt cheeks really, really hard, those are great things that you can do. Sitting at your desk, there's just lots and lots of options.
And I think that's something we forget. Our bodies were designed to move. The muscles, mm-hmm. the bones, we were not built to sit. And so, yes, now there's research around how sitting is the new heart disease. We are getting sick because we sit so much. So even if it is standing up, and if you have a way, can you stand up and talk on the phone in your office? Can you stand up while you are looking through a file folder? Anytime you can get off, you're behind. And again, with the system, there's a reminder. So every hour I can take a lap around the floor. It takes all of like 45 seconds. So that's less than 8 minutes a day, which I don't take another break. You know, there are ways, you're right, to get it into the schedule that can be fun, that can be healthy. And when we make it part of our day, and it's great for your brain. It increases the oxygen. It gets more glucose to your brain so you can think more clearly. It gets toxins out of your brain. It actually, the exercise, when you're exercising, your brain produces BDNF, which is a growth factor that your brain needs to grow and nourish new neurons. So it's actually helping you build a better brain when you're exercising. So again, when you think about, and here's another question that I often ask people, because we don't see our brain, and we might get a headache, but that's not our brain aching usually. That's the blood vessels constricting around the brain. But we don't have this, again, a little flag that goes up. Here's the thing. Do you take better care of your hair and your skin than you do your brain?
Mm-hmm.
And most people will say, well, yeah. You know why? Because you know about what kind of skin do you have. Do you have oily skin, dry skin? What kind of hair do you have? What kind of products are you using? And all this stuff, and yet we have this amazing brain, and we're not born with a manual. So right now is an exciting time because there's so much more. We've learned more about the brain, even in the last, well, the 80s was the decade of the brain, and that's now what, 90s? That's all 30 years ago. But even in the last 10, we've still learned so much more about the brain, and there are new discoveries happening every day. So what we now know, those lifestyle choices we make about what we eat, what we drink, how we move, make a difference in how well our brain functions. We either boost our brain for success or we bust it. And let's talk a little bit about sleep and how important sleep is to our brain.
Well, before we move on to sleep, I want to add two more things about the exercise that people may not have thought about. You know, talk about research and things that we've learned about our brain. Exercise, three 30-minute walks or any type of cardio where you're getting the oxygen moving inside of your body is as effective as antidepressant medications for most people. Let me say that again. Three 30-minute walks are as effective as an antidepressant medication. It makes that big of a difference in your life and the way your brain functions. And then also, it increases your productivity. So if you want to make more money, if you want to have a better business, if you want to climb that corporate ladder, exercising helps you do that.
It helps you think. That's what I was going to add.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and it doesn't have the side effects. That's what I, where I was going with that. When you, anytime you take a medication, medications, mm-hmm. pills come with side effects. Now, the side effect of exercise, besides good health, and if you're be smart about it, because you could end up with, you know, some ankle or knee injuries. However, the gains outweigh dealing with those things, and you don't have to wonder about what it's doing to your system that you don't know, and which can happen with medication. So, absolutely, thank you for sharing that. And I know recently we were discussing in another setting about a very busy client that you had and how he made some brain-boosting choices. And I want to make sure that we get a chance to talk about that before we go. But let's talk about sleep first and how important sleep is to our brain and to our body.
Well, just to give, you know, just to really think about this, you can go longer without drinking water and survive than you can without sleep. That's how important sleep is to our lives and to our brains. When we're not functioning, a lot of times it's from sleep deprivation. Or some people may think that they are sleeping, but they're snoring. There's a huge, huge growing list of people with sleep apnea because we're becoming a heavier society. And they're actually waking up in the middle of the night numerous times, and so they're not getting into that good REM sleep. That is that restorative sleep that allows our brains and those yummy good hormones to come out and to help us grow new cells and to refresh ourselves, basically. So if we're not getting about 7 hours of sleep at night, then you're sleep deprived. And when you're sleep deprived, you make poor choices with eating. You're too tired to exercise. Then on top of that, your hormones don't work correctly. When you're sleep deprived, your hunger hormones don't work correctly. The way you digest food doesn't work correctly. When you have less sleep than what you need, you have your body stays in a fight or flight type of scenario more often. It's a stress scenario where you have too much cortisol going on. And because you're not getting that sleep, you're not reducing that cortisol at night, which is the way our natural body rhythms are supposed to be. So you end up in this fight or flight numerous times a day. Then because you're tired, you're drinking caffeine, which automatically, because of the way caffeine works in your body, puts you in a fight or flight situation. It increases that cortisol as well. And then you drink some more caffeine, which increases that fight or flight, and so it increases that cortisol, and it messes up our hormones and does a huge spiraling effect. So if you want to have a brain that works well, as well as a body that works optimally, then you have to get proper amounts of sleep. And if you're not sleeping at night, then you've got to find time during the day for those 15 to 20 minute naps that will be also restorative. Got to.
And
I'm going to put that in the should category.
Yes, well, healthy choices category that, you know, if you really want, and again, we are becoming dependent on sleeping pills and, you know, chemicals to get us to sleep rather than things that are natural, things that, you know, we can get. Do you have enough magnesium in your system or melatonin in your system? Do you... And one of the things that happens when you're having trouble remembering, one of the causes for some memory problems could be sleep deprivation, because the process where new memories are actually, well, I'll just call it memory gluing, happens when you are sleeping. And when you're sleeping, memories that are not strongly connected, little pieces of things are cleaned up. Well, you don't get that cleanup time in there. You get a lot of stuff out, pieces running around, things aren't connected well. Things that are supposed to be connected start breaking apart, and so it's like, what did I do? What did I have yesterday? What was this? One of the factors that can connect to that, one is the choline in your diet, the other is sleep. So if you're finding yourself in brain fog, look at what you're eating. Are you getting the protein, getting the choline? Look at, are you sleeping? So that you can actually have those benefits and realize that, you know, people have different amount needs for sleep. Learn what feels right, works right for you, and realize, just for those of you who have teenagers, that the melatonin production, which is the chemical that helps you sleep, shifts in adolescence. And so there is a biochemical process that actually leads adolescents to stay up later and sleep later. It's not just they're lazy. I did an interview with Cross, K-R-O-S, Frank Cross. You'll find it in the past Spark shows. And he talks about how you can help adolescents in particular. And there are school systems that are figuring it out, and they're starting their school day for adolescents at 9:30 rather than 7, and seeing a major difference in their performance. Mm-hmm. So just a little aside for those of you who have teenagers in your life. And I spoke to a woman who had said she was on the verge of, you know, having her son tested because of, you know, he'll be up at 2 in the morning. He's awake. He's not tired. And so looking at, you know, maybe it's how much his melatonin production is really shifting. So recognize sleep is really important, and better than trying to use chemicals first. If you can do things with meditation, breathing, relaxation, there are a lot of strategies around how you can help yourself relax and sleep better. And if you find that you're getting the hours of sleep, as Lynette said, and you're still feeling tired, it could be sleep apnea, and that may be worth investigating as well. So I'm done with the sleep part. We've got about 9 minutes left. Oh, my gosh, where did the time go? Well, we're talking about the brain and health, things that we're both passionate about. That's where the time went. So let's talk a little bit. We've talked about sleep. We've talked about exercise, water, food, relationships, positive touch, and positive relationships. The brain is designed to be social. And so you can boost your brain's performance by having that social connectedness in your life. And as a health coach, is that something that you talk about with clients as well?
It is, because we try to think that we can, compartmentalize all the different areas in our life, whether they're our love relationships or our business relationships or our career or our finances or any of those things, but it's all very much intermingled. And so being able to be in a loving relationship where you feel cared for and that you care about others is very, very critical to your success in having a healthy brain and a healthy body and a healthy lifestyle. A lot of times, as I work with clients, I begin learning, you know, that the stresses that they're having in either their relationships, it tends to either be their relationship stress or their career stress, really interferes with their ability to lose weight. So we completely walk away from the diet, and we start focusing on those stressors and how to move through those so that eating healthier becomes easier. And it doesn't become this coping mechanism, which it often does when relationships are going really south.
Awesome. So we've got about 7 minutes left. So if there is anyone who's listening and you want to call and ask Lynette a question, you can call 347-215-8390. And I just opened the chat. I was so engaged with what we're doing, I forgot to open the chat room. And so there isn't anyone available or listening and on the chat right now. So I want to make sure, like I said, that we talk about this client who, like many of us, is busy trying to make the money, get the promotion, have the relationship, and can't fit in the healthy stuff. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. You know, this is actually a relatively young gentleman. He's in his mid to late 20s, and he has his own internet business. He's successful. He's engaged. He's going to be getting married in the fall. And so now, once he got engaged, he felt this huge stress and this huge need to suddenly up what he was making financially. So he was working 18 hours a day trying to get these products created and get them, you know, affiliates to work with him and all this different stuff. Well, he was working so hard that he started deteriorating his relationship with his fiancée, that he was really deteriorating the relationship that he had with his body. So I started having him stop every hour, drink a glass of water, and walk around for 4 or 5 minutes. Those were the only things that we changed in his life.
Within a week, he went from working 18-hour days to six hours, and was more productive than he had been in the 18 hours that he was working. So now he had more time to spend with his fiancée, and he began having a closer, more intimate relationship with her, which was what everything, you know, his crazy work schedule started out in the first place, was to have a closer, more intimate relationship with her that was more financially sound. He went from making $20,000 per month to $35,000 per month. So his increased productivity turned into dollar signs for him. And it was through 5 minutes of walking and drinking some water once an hour. And it was that simple. But he had to do it. He had to make himself stop. He had to stop these old habits that he had going on so that he could make himself do it. And I was really proud of him.
And it's so powerful, because we think when we just put more time in, we just work harder, that we are actually more productive. And from the brain's perspective, it needs a break. I just had seen today there was a blog post in the Harvard Business Review on the magic of doing one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are so, it's by Tony Schwartz, who's done, I think he's, The Energy Project is what he's with. And so if you go to Harvard Business Review, you'll find that the magic of doing one thing at a time is that we, our brains do need a break. And when we are constantly doing it, when we think we're multitasking, our brain is incapable of doing that. It's a serial, or excuse me, a linear processor. It does one thing at a time. So when you switch tasks and you feel you're multitasking, you are actually task switching. And John Medina talks about this on his website, brainrules.net, as well, that the biggest cost, assuming you don't crash, I'm quoting from Tony's article, is your productivity. When you split your attention, you're rarely fully engaged. You increase the time it takes you to finish by an average of 25%. And so, and if you're always doing something, your energy drops as well. And you know what, if you schedule a start and stop time and then get up and take that break, you can refuel your thinking, and you have that snack, have that water, move away from your desk, you actually increase productivity, which I thought was amazing timing on the story you just said, since that you just posted the magic of doing one thing at a time today. And I am notorious for doing that. I'll be, you know, I've got sticky notes, that's another topic. I have sticky notes of things to do. I have, you know, people calling on the phone, and I'm doing this on the internet, and I was like, well, what was I going to that website for? Well, I'll get back to it in a minute. And so I am constantly task switching. And so if I've got a deadline to meet, the best thing to do is to set the timer and be linear around the task. That's also going to boost your productivity and boost your brain power.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Emma. There are so many other brain-boosting tips we've talked about.
Yes, I really had hoped we'd had a chance. This is something that I learned. I was rereading an interview that I did. It's actually one of the Kindle books that's out on the Kindle store about parasites. And I was rereading that as I was getting it ready to be published. And parasites are known as the great mimicker. They can mimic thyroid disease, all kinds of digestive diseases, but they can also cause brain fogginess. So if you're eating the right food, you're staying hydrated, you're exercising, but you're still not feeling right, you're still feeling like you can't find the keys, or you just not can't focus, then go see your doctor and get tested for parasites, because they can do some really funky inflammatory reactions in your body that can affect your brain.
What is the name of that book, Lynette, if people want to go find it?
Probably the best place for them to go is to my author store, which is amazon.com/author/Lynette, L-Y-N-E-T-T-E. And you'll find all four of the books there. They're just 99 cents. They're really easy to pick up. But one of them is specifically on parasites. And you'll learn so much about parasites and why you need to go to your doctor tomorrow.
Is there anything else other than the brain fog piece that you'd like to share related to parasites?
Well, I thought the thyroid was a huge, when we have thyroid disease, it also affects the way
we feel with our brain. You know, it creates that fogginess, that can't the memory issues. So the parasites can actually mimic the symptoms of thyroid disease. So if you're one of these people who are completely symptomatic, you can check off the list. You know, yes, this is thyroid, this is thyroid. You go to the doctor, they do the thyroid test, and your thyroid's fine. Then you most likely have a parasite that's mimicking all of those symptoms. And when you get on some anti-parasitic medications, get rid of those parasites, you're going to feel so much better. And those are one of the times when I think it's okay to go on a prescription medication versus any herbal remedies. And if you read in that book, Dr. Stedman really explains why that is.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because, again, we don't hear about parasites in this country very much, and it's probably more prevalent than people realize.
It is completely prevalent. They're now because more people have pets and more people are going outside of the country, plus more people are coming into our country. So there's this cross-contamination of parasites. But because mostly of our pets, we have more pets indoors today than we ever have in all of society. So we have pets that go outside, they dig around in the dirt, they, you know, run around with all four paws. They come in, we play with them, and we pick up parasites. Our kids pick up parasites. So they're now estimating that parasites are the number one underdiagnosed disease in today. And they're also estimating that 86% of people, I think 86% of people have a parasite and they don't know it. And it's really creating a huge issue with their health.
Wow. Well, now that gives us a topic for another show. As always, I'm going to say, Lynette, I hope that you will come back again because it is always a pleasure. I always learn something when I talk to you. And I'm excited to share you and your knowledge and experience with my listeners here at Spark. And so tonight we hope that, or whenever you're listening to this segment, that you can find some specific actions that you can take, lifestyle choices you can make that will boost your brain power. And then as a side effect, positive side effect, boost your overall health as well. So, Lynette, in our closing moments, what message do you want people to take away when it comes to their brain health?
The message that I want people to really take away is that they can do this, that if they can step back from their schedule, look at the systems in their life and how they can tweak the systems, then they're going to find many, many opportunities where they can make these better choices. And whether it's, you know, making all your breakfast foods on Sunday or setting your timer to remember to drink that water, it's all a system. It's not you being a failure. It's not you having no willpower. It's just about a system. So look at the systems that you can put in place that makes all of this super easy.
Absolutely. And you can connect with Lynette at www.lynettepattersoncoaching.com. Also find her on healingwithexperts.com, and her other contact information is there. So I invite you to follow up, do more with Lynette. She's an amazing coach and a wonderful support. Thank you so much for being with us, for having the conversation with me about our passions around brain and health. And I invite my listeners, as always, to do something. Take an action on something that you heard that could be the spark of a positive change in your life.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We hope that you will join us again. Lynette, thank you again so much.
Well, I am so incredibly blessed to be here. Good luck with everyone, and enjoy your brain this week and all the other 51 weeks of the year.
Rocket, yes. All right. Until next time, do great things. Take amazing care of your brain because it is yours for life. And stay safe.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.